I just think I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, the fact that Gibraltar was so strategically placed, which is why it was a garrison in the first place in the Second World War. Mm. But there were also, you know, a lot of sort of espionage going on in Gibraltar, wasn't there, all the time?
Not espionage as such. What was being done is that the Germans were taking a village, or a villa actually, near Campamento, where they were used to watch Gibraltar, was called in Gibraltar. Then, of course, it was the attack by the human torpedoes from Algeciras, from across the bay, that was being done. But, and of course, there was Spanish saboteurs who were paid by the Germans and could have really, if that happened, into the where I was working, the whole of Gibraltar would have blown up, the whole rock, because, I mean, the amount of ammunition there, but it was got in time. But there is another saboteur that was arrested after having placed the bomb in Coaling Island, and that went off, and a lot of damage was done to the... because this was a fuel depot for the Admiralty in the Coaling Island. That did happen.
When was that, then? After the war?
During the war.
And who was that? Was that Spanish?
Spanish. Cordon Cuenca, his name was, I think. Anyway, he was hanged in Gibraltar.
Could you just tell me a little bit more about that? Because I don't know about that at all.
There's another one. The one who was going to place the bomb in the magazine was working in a fruit shop in Gibraltar in Main Street. Was working there, but he found the bomb in there. The police found the bomb in there somehow or other. But the other one was arrested coming away from having placed a bomb or something. He was arrested by the, at the time, the security police, not the Gibraltar police at the time. He was arrested, and eventually he was the explosion went, and damage, did a bit of damage around the area, but mainly the bomb wasn't all much. It's the combustibles that were there in the store that blew up, petrol and things like that, was more, but it wasn't as much as doing damage to the town, because it was actually at the time in Coaling Island. Apart from that, I don't know much about it because I wasn't there at those times. What I've read about it, and I mean, I have gone into deep into it, but you know, still a lot that you cannot put your finger on sometimes. I know that they were hanged in Gibraltar. There's two of them. One, Cordon Cuenca was one, and the other one was, I can't remember his name now. But I mean, I've got it all.
You've written about it.
Yeah. Well, I've written about this. No, I haven't written about so much about this, because this I couldn't tell them. I mean, I've written my experience of what I've studied about, you know, Spain. All I'm writing is on
the... Do you think there's a lot of suspicion? I mean, a lot of Spanish come through to Gibraltar. A lot of Spanish used to work for Gibraltarians, didn't they? As maids and everything.
But this is one thing that always fascinated me. They took the women and children away from Gibraltar for fear that, because this is a story that is very debatable, they took the women and children away from Gibraltar because they were feared that Gibraltar was going to be attacked by the Germans from Spain. And still they were allowing women to come into Gibraltar from Spain to work, and creating a lot of haphazard, where a lot of families broke up because the men folk were going to be involved. That's something that I have not got involved to, but I do not agree on that. They took it and they allowed all these women to come and work in Gibraltar.
Well, absolutely. You don't need to be a mastermind to work out what happened, do you? And I think that also, having talked to various people, and I talked to Pilar and Amelia about how it was for the Gibraltar women to leave and go to London, you know, they'd led very protected lives before that. And suddenly there they are in London, free. Yeah. I mean, amazing cultural change.
Yeah, but I mean, there's people that died here in London due to the bombs and as well. Not very many, but that, again, I don't know, because I wasn't here at the time. But everybody says we were having the world of our time, because we were in a... And those that went to Jamaica as well, but I don't know. But the one thing is that always been in my mind was that why allow the shooting to go to Gibraltar when they knew that the men would be wanting women? Why should we allow, all right, allow Spanish workers, but women, why take, the excuse about, this is the one, this is another point of view. I think Paul Baker may have mentioned this to you, the fact that they say that it was to protect the people from the Germans, yeah. But what they wanted was to empty Gibraltar of people so as to get more troops in. That's why they got rid of us. Simple as that. And they did that. They took over whole Gibraltar. There was over, about, I don't know, 14,000 servicemen in Gibraltar, something like that.
Did you think that they thought that the Gibraltarians might not come back?
Oh, some of them didn't. Some of them, a hell of a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of people living here in UK that never went back. Mainly, a lot of them concentrated in Fulham. Now there's still a hell of a lot of Europeans living there. To the extent that on one occasion, when we were visiting the Gibraltar Heritage Group, you know, we were visiting Gibraltar, went into the convent, and the governor was introduced to me. Well, by, you know, in the convent, this is in the... And Marcella, of course, my wife, and she said to him, oh yes, I was in London during the war, because she was here, obviously, I wasn't married, I didn't even know Marcella was, anyway. So he says to her, he says, where do you live? In Fulham? And he says, no, I live in Harrow. Because he thought that because Gibraltarians, and this, he actually became, he was one of the governors there, I can't remember his name at the moment, he actually became the Lord Chamberlain from the Buckingham Palace. A very, very, very nice fellow, also very, very. But I mean, this is it's thought that there are many people, but a lot of them stayed here, they never went back.
You know, in
as families, what happened eventually, the husbands came out.
But I mean, presumably there were a lot of, you know, there must have been children born of relationships.
Oh yes, there were children born here, of course there was.
And do you think those children have ever sort of found out who they really are? I mean, were they brought up by the families? Were they adopted? What happened?
Oh no, those have been, that we know a few were born here, but they've been brought up by their own families.
So there wasn't anything like, I mean, a lot of children in the war were taken away from families, and there wasn't anything like that.
They took the children out of London up north and brought the Gibraltarians to London.
Yeah, I know, that's completely mad, isn't it? What was I going to say? Yeah, just going back to the Spanish thing while we're talking about it. I mean, you know, in during the war in England, there was always those posters like careless talk costs lives and all that sort of thing. I mean, do you think there was a lot of suspicion on the Rock? Do you think people were looking at each other and wondering who they were? Because it being such a closed society, Gibraltarians knew each other, didn't
we? Went there. I wasn't there.
Afterwards, maybe.
Afterwards, I don't think so. No, I don't think it afterwards. Afterwards was started after all this business of Gibraltar being wanted by the same. I mean, it's been on for ages, but really it started when the Queen went out there in 1954. That's when it all started, because they said that she was visiting Spanish territory and all that. But otherwise, I mean, the normal Spaniard in the street, I mean, we get on all right with it, we got friends there and all that, but it's only they were actually... There is a few who will still think, oh yeah, we should get Gibraltar back, that sort of thing, yes. But there's any no friction, really, between Gibraltarians and Spanish in respect to that. There's no friction.
And despite what you said about, you know, Gibraltar being... Obviously, the governor's plan was it was taken over and it was a garrison. There still wasn't the Gibraltarian...
No, it wasn't the governor. It wasn't the governor. It was the British government.
The British government.
No, not the governor.
So was
in mind that Gibraltar had no Gibraltarian representative at the time.
So just British.
All there was in Gibraltar at the time was city council. And that is because in 1921, Horace Smith Dorrien, General Horace Smith Dorrien, contacted the UK when he became government there, that he couldn't get in touch with the people he brought, only through their officers, because there wasn't a representative body at all in 1921, only the commissioner, the sanitary commissioner, as they were called. And he wrote to the Secretary of State for the Colonies here in UK, who approved that a council was formed, and that Minister of State for the Colonies, I've got the all this from the records of his NQ, was Churchill at the time. He approved the raising of the and the city council was formed in 1921, the first city council.
That's very interesting, thank you. And what about the feeling, we talked a little bit about, you said that the Gibraltarians had no argument with the military, they got on fine. They didn't, you know.
Well, you know, relatively. Well, relatively. Maybe because, as yeah. I said to you before, there was a faction of the military at the time who were riffraff. They weren't, you know, they didn't have wives out there and that sort of thing as they do nowadays. And now they go out in families. I mean, they don't go out much now because there's, about 100. Overall, in different jobs in Gibraltar, working for the headquarters, about 100 servicemen are there from the British Army. The rest of the Gibraltar Regiment and the RAF have very few people there, and they're going to be reduced in future as well to a minimum. And then the Navy have what? Just two little robots, as I call them, and a few sailors. So the Gibraltar Regiment. I mean,
what about the attitude about, you know, how do you, the Gibraltarians viewed the British establishment, you know, the British government? How do you think that?
Well, there's no problem with them. The only thing is that we think in Gibraltar, we think that they should be doing more to defend the waters of Gibraltar, for example, at the moment. Not just two little boats with four sailors in each, where these people have. I mean, all the trouble is going on to. It's all fallen on the shoulders of the Gibraltar police now.
I was going to ask, that brings us neatly to the Gibraltar police. I mean, what sort of duties? You were working then for the Gibraltar police from 1953, was that right?
56.
Oh, 56. So that's, we're going a little bit out of our area, but it's interesting to talk about. I mean, what were your duties? What was a daily duty in the police?
Roughly? Very varied. At that time, the Gibraltar Docket Constabulary had been amalgamated into the Gibraltar Police. They had been requested that the Gibraltar Police look after the docket as well. So the Gibraltar Police was divided into A and B divisions, right? A division used to mainly deal with the town, B division docket establishments, right? But the men interchangeable all the time. Yes? So, I mean, when I say were duties, street duties, night duties, looking after the dockyard, looking after the malls, the duties, looking after the magazines, any old sort of thing, duty, everything. Patrolling in the dockyard, mobile patrol in the dockyard, which I used to do a lot, but then in the last few years I served in police, I was most of the time in the NATO Communications Centre, where we used to do alternate days of civvies and one day in uniform at the door, civvies patrolling inside. But night duty, I was always in town. I didn't want to be indoors at night time.
And was there a lot of crime?
Not as much as there is nowadays. No. There was. Not like that. I mean, it's funny, I was mentioning this to somebody recently, you know, who was nowhere near what it's like today. I mean, as a police officer, I've just been arrested for rape. Gibraltar, I read the Chronicle. I read that every day.
A police officer's just been arrested for rape.
Yeah. Five cases of rape.
And that wouldn't have happened.
No, I don't know. Look, I'll tell you what, there is a case of where two police officers were arrested for robbery, breaking and entering, but both of them were UK officers. I mean, they weren't Gibraltarian or that. But, I mean, that's not a fact. I mean, we've had a mixture of UK and Gibraltarian the police, but you know, they've
gone so very far. So police from the UK used to come out and serve in Gibraltar?
No.
So how? What do you mean the UK police then?
We joined local people who married local women, ex-servicemen who joined the police.
Oh, I see, yes. So they were British?
Of course, British, yes. Oh yeah.
So that was a different thing.
Yeah, but most of them speak better Spanish than I do. They get used to speaking Spanish well. I mean, my mate, for example, Dennis Wiltshire, I mean, he married his... you know, he stayed there, he worked with me in the printers, later on in the other printers. Anyway, got a story short on that one. But there is a mixture of... There isn't that many now, but mainly at the time there was mainly... because the police has grown bigger, because now they've got more areas to cover. But, you know, we are the second police force after the Metropolitan. Some for specialised duties come to Hendon. Some they still do. And one of them has just been with the FBI in America. As well, it's another. It's in there. I read all this in the Chronicle daily.
I was just going to ask you about when you came over to the UK, actually. When did you come to England and
1979.
Why?
Well, why? Mercy, Mercy got married, my sister, right? And then we met Stan and all that, and he wanted to get his family together because he had been brought up sponsors, you know, because they were a big family, his mother couldn't, And when he married Mercy, he finally found what he called a family. So in the end, he brought my mother over. My father had already died. I brought my mother over. And a few years afterwards, he started, hey, why don't you come back? I said, come back with us. Now I've got a family. So he brought us back and brought Marcel and me back. And that's the reason I got here. When I got here, I went to work in a printers in... very briefly, actually, I've seen a printer in Acton, in my old trade, and after 2.5 years, seems to have been a bit dodgy there, losing contract and all that, so I looked for another job. I ended up managing a tile and bathroom showroom in Hendon, which I worked in for 9 years. Until I had a first heart attack in 1991. 8 months afterwards I had another one, and they didn't want me to work anymore. I didn't work anymore. And I was put on what they used to call incapacity benefit. When I was 65 I got a pension, a very short period. I only worked here for 12 years. So they made up my livable wage, what they call it, by adding pension credit to it. And that's the story of, and I'm still here.
And do you really miss Gibraltar?
No one does, because I've been going back to Gibraltar practically every year. And at the same time that before Marcella died, we've been going back to Gibraltar sometimes twice a year. And after she died, I've been going up before Stan died, of course, 2 years ago. One occasion I was even back to Gibraltar 6 times for 1 year. I even got a free trip from Monarch because I just see the place often. It's a two-way trip, so...
So what do you feel when you're in Gibraltar?
Safety. That's the word. Safety. Here, you're always looking over your shoulder. Especially in this road, full of East Europeans, Somalis. Say the less. Even the Indians are living this road, and they never get into trouble, and they're living this road.
And what about when you think about, you know, yourself, your own identity or culture, who do you think you are?
Ernie Redding.
But I mean,
as you, everybody knows me.
But I mean, do you see yourself as Gibraltarian first?
Oh yes, born and bred. Born and bred Gibraltarian, British Gibraltarian. Simple as that.
Lovely. And one last question is, what about, you must be very pleased about going back.
Oh yes, I am. Regretfully, I know there's nothing there. Regretfully, at the moment, what we feel is that we're leaving our loved ones here. My mother, my wife, and my brother-in-law. And our mother, actually. So
they're all buried here?
All three together.
Where are they then?
Clamp Hill.
Oh.
Harrow Wild Cemetery. So that is the only feeling I've got. I had tentatively investigated the possibilities of having them brought up and probably cremated and taking the ashes back with us, but lots of money. Too much money. They couldn't afford that. So what we'll do is we'll eventually maybe come once or twice a year, something like that, to keep an eye on the place for us. Although we were paid a lot for doing that place for them, but yeah, simple as that. But otherwise, happy as anything, going back to Gibraltar. We love Gibraltar, not that Gibraltar as it is now, but it is our place of birth. I'm very glad to be going back to it. So that's much as I can tell at the moment. I could tell a lot more, but...
There's a lot more, I know, but that's a very nice ending to this bit of the interview. Thank you. So I'm going to say end of this bit of the interview anyway. Thank you.